Hi everyone, wonderful to be with you all today and to bring to you this last installment of the Spiritual Disciplines part of the New Year Restart series. I hope you found it useful. I hope you've been engaging with it and learning from it, because spiritual disciplines are incredibly powerful. They have this transformational potential and they are so foundational for us as Christians. And so over the past couple of months, different members of the teaching team have been talking through different spiritual disciplines. And although we've not covered every spiritual discipline, I don't know if such a list exists that lists every spiritual discipline. We've certainly covered off some of the key concepts, the really important spiritual disciplines that give you the tools that you need to take ownership and responsibility for your own personal growth. And the sessions have been incredibly practical. They've provided for you a deep knowledge and understanding of what these spiritual disciplines are, why they're important, and then really practical, concrete tools and skills in terms of how to engage with them, how to grapple with them, and how to integrate them into your life. And so if you feel like you've missed the boat, don't stress. All the videos are still there. They're online. I encourage you, if you haven't been engaging, to do so. It's not too late. It will positively and profoundly impact your life. And if you are going with it and engaging with it, keep going. And you will no doubt start to see some of the fruit of that process. So I'm really encouraged that we're doing this series. When I found out that the teaching team were going to tackle spiritual disciplines, I got really excited. It's very near and dear to my heart. I used to teach spiritual disciplines at Bible College many years ago. Although we wouldn't call it spiritual disciplines, we called it personal formation and spiritual growth. And we called it personal formation and spiritual growth for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because that is what engaging with spiritual disciplines does. It is a personal formation. It forms you and it informs your decisions and it forms your personal development. And also it creates spiritual growth. It creates a deepening of spiritual understanding and then spiritual growth that comes from that. And then the outworkings of that, what your life looks like when you're growing. The other reason we didn't call it spiritual disciplines is because nobody likes discipline. When you hear the word discipline, you don't feel warm and fuzzy. You're like, oh, it's scary. I think it's going to hurt. I think it's hard. But I think if we've learned anything over this past kind of series, it's that it's not scary. Spiritual disciplines aren't scary. They are accessible and they are available and they are valuable. And they're for everyday Christians like you and me. They're not for the holy and righteous. They're not for the ordained. They're for all of us to engage in. But it is an act of will. We decide to do it. We do it when we feel like it, and sometimes we do, and we do it when we don't really feel like it, because sometimes we don't. A little bit like exercise, right? There are times when you feel like exercising, and there are times that you don't feel like exercising. But you exercise because you know that it's good for you, what it does for your body. You know that it produces in you strength and health and resilience. And in terms of the spiritual disciplines, it produces wisdom and maturity. So there is this beautiful fruit that comes from being engaged with spiritual disciplines. And so yes, it's an act of will, but it's also an act of devotion, because we deeply love Christ so much. Such a good God of good things. And my act of worship, my act of devotion is to engage in these different ways through silence and prayer and Bible reading and solitude as an act of devotion to Christ, and so that I can become more like him, so that I can be active in my own discipleship and become more like Jesus. And whenever I think about discipleship and it feels like discipleship is hard, and you know, I reflect on this little story that I once heard, where a mum was making pancakes for her two boys. Maybe it resonates with me because I've got two boys and I can identify with the situation, where the two boys are a bit argy-bargy and they're getting on each other's nerves and they're bickering, and she's flipping the pancakes and she thinks to herself, This is a teaching moment. What a lovely mum. Haven't we all parents had that moment where we're like, we're going to seize this opportunity and teach our children something profound, and oh, how enlightened they will be. But alas, not always. And so this mum thought she would take this opportunity for a teaching moment. And as the boys were bickering about who was going to get the first pancake, she said to them, "Boys, if Jesus were here, he would say, 'You, brother, have the first pancake.'" And the boys thought about that for a second, and the eldest brother said to his youngest, "She's right. You be Jesus." And sometimes we can be a bit like that. You know, of course it's true. Of course it's right. We should have spiritual disciplines. And if only that person was more like Jesus, if only that person engaged more, really, that person really needs to be a lot more like Jesus. But we cannot take responsibility for anybody else's spiritual growth. We cannot control anybody else's spiritual growth, but we can control ours. And we can take responsibility for our own personal growth, for our own discipleship, for our own engagement in spiritual disciplines. And so the spiritual discipline series has now given you the tools that you need to be able to do that, to take that responsibility. And so today I'm going to be sharing about something I'm incredibly passionate about, and it's probably going to ooze out and bubble up, and I've been told to stay within the confines of my lectern because I get so excited when I talk about this, and that is how we engage with Scripture, how we engage with the Word of God, strengthening by reading the Word as a spiritual discipline. And I'm going to present to you today a couple of really practical tools, I hope, some kind of bigger philosophical ideas, but really some practical tools that you can engage with depending on your maturity, depending on your confidence maybe, depending on your appetite. And I use the word appetite because the Bible likens itself often to food. It talks about itself as bread and meat and milk. And so the food of the Bible, the spiritual food of the Bible, provides for us this great nourishment. It feeds us. But it also brings within that nourishment a delight and a joy. And so you may think to yourself, "I don't know. I don't know if reading the Bible brings me delight. I don't know if it's one of those things that I enjoy. I kind of feel like it's one of the things that I have to do, or I know I should do, but I find it difficult and tricky." And so I hope today I will be able to reveal to you the delight and enjoyment that is found in reading the Bible. By way of an example, I have a friend who used to hate pumpkin when I met her. So she hated pumpkin and most vegetables because her mother, bless her, wasn't much of a cook and would boil everything. And so everything was boiled to an inch of its life. So when she got pumpkin on a plate, it had been boiled till it was almost disintegrating, and then her mum would empty all the water with all the nutrients down the drain. And what was left on a plate was, you know, a pile of textureless, tasteless mush, essentially, which is not delicious. No one's going to enjoy eating that. But I introduced her to roast pumpkin and other forms of pumpkin, like pumpkin that's been roasted slow and with olive oil and maybe a little bit of sneaky butter and a bit of sea salt and some chili, if that takes your fancy, until it's crispy and caramelized and delicious and full of nutrients and brings you great joy when you eat it. And since she's been introduced to enjoying pumpkin because of the way it is cared for and prepared, she's eating all sorts of different vegetables and she can't get enough. In fact, she's virtually a vegetarian now because she's found the joy in preparing something well. And I don't know if you can tell, but I am a bit of a foodie. I love food. I really love food. I think it is a gift from the Lord without a doubt. I love to taste different things. I love to try different things. I love to combine different things. I think they are a gift from heaven. I am not one of those people who eat to stay alive, and all power to you if that's your thing. But I don't eat to stay alive. I eat because I know my body is a vehicle and it needs to get stuff done. And so it needs fuel and nourishment to be able to do that. And because the act of eating and partaking and sharing and breaking bread with people is just such a joy. and such a delight. And for me, the way I engage with Scripture, and I would suggest the way that you can engage with Scripture, is a similar thing. It is meant to be a thing of joy, a thing of great delight. Yes, meant to nourish us, meant to give us that spiritual food, but it could be done in such a way that we're not pouring all the nutrients down the drain, that we're not sitting with a pile of textureless, tasteless content, because it is rich and it is beautiful and it's magnificent and it's life-changing and it's a delight. And so how do we engage in the Bible in that way, that we can get the most nutrients out of it and also have the delight of reading the Bible? So firstly, I'd like to talk about a couple of overarching underpinning principles when engaging in the spiritual discipline of reading the Word. And then we'll do some really practical tools. The first overarching underpinning, and I know that sounds like a lot of scaffolding, but it's really important, is context. Context, 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 context when you're reading the Bible. If I could do an hour on context, I would, but that's not what today is about. So I'm only going to do a couple of minutes just to plant the seed. We are very fortunate at Bayside that Pastor Rob, whenever he shares the Word, and all of the teaching team actually are really fastidious in making sure that they evaluate the content of what it is that they're sharing. So very rarely will you hear Pastor Rob share on a message where he doesn't talk about, and this is what was happening at that time. And that's what I mean about context. Context is so important because it helps us understand what the application is for us in the most appropriate way. So what do I mean by context? Context is when you're reading a passage, understand that that verse sits within a broader context, a broader chapter, that sits within a book, that sits within a narrative. And every part of the Bible is connected as part of this broad, overarching biblical narrative. And so with every verse we read, we think to ourselves, who's writing this? Who's the author? And who are they writing to? And what was happening at the time when they were writing it? Why were they writing it? What's this responding to? What's this because of? And when we start to think about some of those things, it opens up a much broader and deeper understanding of the Word and gives you a greater appreciation of the Word of God. And it also helps to ensure that the applications you make into your personal life are the most appropriate, instead of just reading random verses here and there and going, I think God says, you know, that I should move to the promised land. Well, I don't know, maybe he's saying that, but in the context of what? And so it's really important that you read the Bible always in context. The other thing that is really important as an overarching principle, and that's not just for you know, engaging with the Word of God, but also the way in which you engage with all of the spiritual disciplines, is to integrate them into your life. That they should be part of your day-to-day, part of your norm, part of just what you do. And so part of the skill of engaging with spiritual disciplines is to figure out what's your rhythm. How do you do the things that resonate well with you? How do you push yourself into areas that are going to challenge you? And how do you do that on a day-to-day basis? When it comes to reading the Word, you know, I've got the Audible In the app Audible, you get the audio Bible, which is just beautiful the way it's read. And that's lovely to fill my heart with Scripture as I'm walking or as I'm driving. There are lots of things that you can do. There are podcasts and there are things that you can do on the go as part of your life when you're picking up the kids and when you're doing that sort of stuff. But can I really encourage you to not fall in the trap of only doing those things, just doing it as you go? It's important to do it as you go, but it is really important to take some time out, to be intentional, to be purposeful in saying, I'm going to take some protected time, some uninterrupted time, and I'm going to engage with the Word of God, or I'm going to engage in a time of prayer, or whatever it is that you're focusing on. When Daryl and I got married many, many, many years ago, we went through the stage where we're figuring each other out. I don't know if any newly marrieds have ever experienced this. You're sort of, you know, you're thrust into the situation where you're together all the time. We hadn't lived together before marriage, and so it was new for us to be together and to work out what does that look like and how do we do life together, really? And I remember early on in our marriage, Daryl used to play a lot of guitar. It was one of his favourite hobbies. And so like a typical Saturday would be, you know, we'd get up and I'd maybe go for a walk and Daryl would sit in the lounge and potter in his guitar and I'd come home and make us maybe bake something like a cake or some biscuits because it's all very exciting, you know, when you're newly married and you want to bake lots of things. And then you expand as a result of it. That's a whole nother story. And then, you know, he would be playing guitar and then I'd maybe read a bit of a book and he'd play guitar and I'd start dinner and he'd be sitting pottering on his guitar. And eventually I'd say to him, like, babe, are we going to spend any time together today? And I remember the first time I asked him that, the look of complete confusion on his face. And he said, what are you talking about? We only had a tiny little unit. He's like, what are you talking about? We've been together all day. No, we have not. You've been playing guitar. And I've been baking and reading and walking and things. And he's like, babe, we've been in the room together most of the day. And I'm like, no, that doesn't count. I want you to just sit with me and look at me and tell me I'm lovely and talk to me about your feelings and just be together. Poor dude. We figured it out. You'd be happy to know. And we're still together many years later. But it can be a little bit like that with the way we engage with God. We think, well, we're in the same vicinity. I go to church. I've got Christian friends. There's, you know, I'm listening to Christian podcasts. I'm in your vicinity, God. We're together all the time. But, you know, God wants to sit with you. He wants to talk about your feelings. He wants to talk about your hopes and dreams. He wants to hear your heart. And he wants you to engage with his heart and his plan and his purposes for you and for humanity. And so it's difficult to do that on the run. So take time out to sit with the Word of God. To, you know, I've always got a pencil in my hand because that's the way I'm wired. And for me, the Word is living and active. And every time I read it, I'll see something or I'll circle a word or I'll put a question mark. Or for me, it's I'm drawn to study, but sometimes I need to sit and just reflect and just read and think. And it's difficult to do if you're running around. So ensure with this spiritual discipline and all of them to make some really purposed time to connect with God through reading the Word. And so what do you do in that purposed time? Well, let me give you a couple of tools of things that you can do. Like I said, depending on where you're at, you may feel a little bit nervous about reading the Bible. You may feel like every time you open it up, you read a verse, you're like, oh, that's a bit tasteless and textureless, which is a tricky word to say, and not actually a word at all, I think. It's textureless, and I'm not really sure what that means. But okay, sure, I've read the Bible, and there goes all the nutrients and sustenance and delight from that Bible reading. So to take a little bit of time to create a framework around that. A daily reading Bible or daily reading book that guides you is really useful if you don't know where to start. There are lots of apps. And the YouVersion Bible app is a great app that gives you a daily reading. It says to you, okay, today you're going to read this verse. And it'll often give you a little bit of a thought to think about, and it may give you some context of what was happening at that time, which is really good. It's a good place to start. And then you can reflect on that, and you can do that every day. You can find great books that do that, great apps that do that, or you can do it yourself through getting yourself a journal, a notebook, sitting down with your Bible and reading a passage. And you can even use these apps to just sort of give you a place to start, a good passage of scripture to get stuck into. You don't necessarily have to engage with the daily reading, but you can find a good place to start and then use the good old-fashioned soap technique. I don't know if you're familiar with soap, but it's something we always used to get Bible college students to do just to get into the habit of this as a spiritual discipline, of doing it every day, to read a passage, a chapter or a few verses, and then to go through soap. S, so you write in your journal. S, S is for scripture. What is the scripture I have read? O, observation. What is going on here in the scripture? What can I see that I'm observing that's resonating with me, that may be where you consider some of the context and what's actually going on at the time. A, what's the application therefore for me? What do I think I need to do to incorporate what I'm reading into my life? And then P, take it to God, spend some time praying about it. So scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And you can do that it's good to eat every day. So you could do that every couple of days. You could do a Bible reading every couple of days through your reading plan that gives you a framework. Another thing you can do is read through the Bible and, do expansive reading. And if you've never read through the Bible, I strongly encourage you to consider doing it, to read the whole Bible in its entirety. It's worth doing it, at least a couple of times. But prepare yourself for it. There's a fair bit of reading to do. And so you could even do it over 2 years if you're wanting to mix it up, if you like a bit of variety. Nobody wants to eat roast pumpkin every day. So you want to, have it, your feast different ways every day. So you could maybe expand it over a couple of years reading the Bible. Last year I used the Bible Project, which is an app. It's a website. You can subscribe to it. They send you emails. And it was the first time that I'd read the Bible sort of from beginning to end. I kind of read it as a narrative. Instead of, there are a lot of Bible reading plans in a year that kind of get you to read lots of bits and pieces over the year. This kind of, you sort of read through it except for Proverbs and Psalms that you read alongside. And it was just such an enriching experience for me, and I'm sure it'll be for you too. They provide videos for every day as well, great little 2-3 minute cartoon type videos that give you some context and understanding that you're not ordinarily going to get by just reading. And it helps you understand where all the pieces of the Bible fit together as this greater biblical narrative. That's a wonderful thing to do. The other thing you could do is have a focused study for a year or a period of time. It doesn't have to be a year. Typically, I do a year where I will choose a word. I'll pray about it. Normally, November-ish, I start to pray and say, God, what do you want me to really be focusing on next year as part of my Bible reading plan? And there have been years when all I've focused on is the word love. And so I will, go through the Bible and try and find every time love is talked about, what all the different meanings are of love, how love is interpreted. All the resources are available for you online if you're looking for them. And then really challenge myself to think more deeply about love. And what I found, particularly the year that I did love, is that I met more difficult people I've ever met in my life in that particular year, because I was being tested and I was being awakened to it and open to it. And so it not only gives you a much broader, deeper understanding of a particular concept, which is deeply connected to lots of other concepts, because that's how, the Bible works. It's nothing in isolation. It's all connected. But it also gives you something really practical to be thinking about and working on and dealing with every day. This year I'm doing gospel, and I've only just started. I'm really excited to see what God opens up as I study out the word gospel every week, maybe finding a different area in the Bible where it's mentioned and what does that mean and how do I understand that? And just kind of following the piece of string, let God lead me in that reading. Then there's things that you would, I think have been mentioned before, like meditation and memorizing passages of scripture, memorizing verses. It feels weird and clunky to sit and try and memorize a verse, but can I say it's so powerful? And you don't, find ways to make it not weird for you when you're reading the Bible. And if there's something that really resonates with you, something that God really is speaking to you about, and you're reading a verse and you're like, wow, I want that in my heart, write it on a post-it note and stick it on your fridge or stick it in your bathroom and look at it every day until you can say it or you know it without having to look at it. And you'll find over the years you will develop this catalogue of the word. You will have the word hidden in your heart. And it's amazing when that bubbles up just when you need it, just when you don't expect it. There have been so many occasions where I'm in a situation and a passage of scripture will bubble up for me that I memorized many, many years ago. And so God will use that. And so I encourage you to do that every now and again. It doesn't have to be every week. If you like routine, then do a routine that works for you. Do one every week. But if you like to be loosey-goosey and freestyle like me, then just try different things and as God leads, as the Spirit leads. And then to meditate. And I think meditation has been talked about before, but I'm going to talk about it again because it is so powerful and we're a little bit afraid of it. You know, we think meditation is a little bit scary and weird, and it's not really scary and weird. We don't really think we know how to do it. But I read once by Rick Warren saying, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Because we will do that with a problem. We will take a problem and we will flip it around in our head and we'll pull it apart and we'll ruminate on it and we'll mull over it and we'll look at it at all different angles. And so how much better can you use your energy to rather pluck that problem out and put a verse in your mind and do the same thing, turn it around, pull it apart, look at it from different angles, just sit with it and think on it and let God speak to you through it. Charles Spurgeon said this. I'd like to read something to you. He's a great father of the faith and had this wonderful way of words. And he put it this way when he talked about meditation. He said, some people like to read so many chapters every day. I would not dissuade them from the practice, but I would rather lay my soul a soak in half a dozen verses all day than rinse my hand in several chapters. Oh, to be bathed in a text of scripture and to let it be sucked up into your soul till it saturates your heart. Set your heart upon God's word. Let your whole nature be plunged into it as cloth into dye. And so here he's saying, you know, for me, I'd rather plunge myself into a couple of verses than sort of just rinse myself in a whole chapter. But either way, the principle is so sound that when we are engaging with Scripture, the idea is to plunge ourselves in as cloth, to let the Scripture change us, impact us, affect us. With spiritual disciplines and with all of them, and particularly with reading the Bible as well, you know, it's good to read. They're good to do, but they are better to live. That is what it's about. It's not just about the act. It's about the posture and the fruit, letting it change you, letting engaging in the Bible change, soak it up like cloth to dye. That engaging in the Bible changes your color, changes the fabric of who you are and how you live and what you do and the world around you. That's the purpose behind doing it. In kids ministry, we used to talk about it when we were talking about discipleship, but it's exactly the same with adults, is head, heart, hands. You know, you want the information to get in here. That's good when you're talking to kids or you're talking to people or you're engaging in spiritual disciplines and the information gets here. That's good. But it's better when it's here. It's better when you have a sense of it, when you feel it and get it and understand it. But it's best when it's here. When it's made its way from your head to your heart and into your hands, and it is changing the way you live. It is changing the things you do. It is changing who you are. And it is ultimately making you more like our beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's all about, this process of discipleship. The goal of personal growth is not to be puffed up, not to be big and great, but to be more and more like Jesus so that we can see his kingdom come. And his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So I hope the tools that I've given you have been useful. I hope that if you weren't before, you're invigorated and inspired to go back and dig into some of the other spiritual disciplines that we've talked about over the past few months. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for every single person that's watching here. I thank you that you have given us these tools to be able to engage in things that will grow us so that we can become more like you, Jesus. And so I pray that we will take on an act of will and an act of devotion to engage in these things regularly and to do it in such a way that the fabric of who we are and the fabric of how we live sucks up your color, your dye. And so we live a life that is worthy of you and worthy of your call and in line with who you are, Jesus. And so we give it all to you now, and we pray you will help us as we pursue you, that when we seek you, as you promise, you will be found. Amen.